Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, tailor, colour work and cuppa soup. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. I'm The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram, The Ord Knitter on Twitter, and Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry. Here we are again. I've managed to do 2 weeks in a row, so that's good. I think now that I'm back to smaller projects, which I expect will be the case now for the next few months, then I should have a little bit more to talk about project-wise than I have had while I've been working on these much larger projects recently. So starting with the beginning, tailor. This is the jumper that I knitted for my daughter. She wanted a jumper. She asked me a few weeks ago, and she's almost 15, and she has, obviously, as I did just at her age, very firm ideas about what she likes. She wanted stripes, and she likes a certain fit, and we looked at all sorts of things, and ultimately we came up with tailor, which was designed by Kim Hargreaves for Rowan. That's a free download available through Ravelry. I had stipulated to her that we had to use the DK that I already had. I had so much DK that I just couldn't justify buying any more. That just wasn't an option. She was happy with that. It's a stripy jumper, pardon me, so we used black and grey DK that I had from Aldi. So it's great to be really making a dent in this stash. These particular DK skeins, they came in packs of four 100 gram skeins, and I think I bought three sets of four of the grey, but between making ivy for myself, one or two other little odds and ends, and now making tailor, having a quick glance at my stash, I think I now just have half of one skein left from the first set of four, so I'm a third of the way through that. I'm actually a little bit sad that I've only got a little bit of the black left, because I really do want to make myself a black cardigan, and that would have been my next project had my daughter not asked for a jumper. Obviously it's what you do, isn't it? You know, yes, that's fine, darling, I'll use it all on you, don't mind me. I have one thin black cardigan that I don't consider myself someone who wears a lot of black, but I've absolutely lived in it this last year. And you know what will happen? I'll make myself a black cardigan, sort of with a view to next winter, and then I'll find I hardly wear it, you know. Anyway, so if I could wave my magic stash wand, I would turn one of my set of 4DK skeins into a set of black. But there we are. I'm sure another opportunity will present itself to stock up on black yarn, even if it is this Christmas. Tailor is now finished. I posted a picture of it on my Twitter account, at The Ord Knitter, and on my Instagram account. So it's there. I like to exercise a little bit of discretion where my children are involved, so it's not a really clear standing picture of her wearing it, but you certainly get the impression. She's very happy with it. I was delighted that she chose off her own bat to wear it out in public on Saturday, because I've had this before with her where she's asked for things, and it's very sweet. She clearly has total faith in my ability to produce something that she's going to want to strut about in, and I think sometimes the end product has not lived up to her expectations, but then whatever does live up to the expectations of someone who's nearly 15? So I was really pleased that she wore it out. It is a little shorter in the rise than I had expected it to be, but because she's such a slim Jim with a naturally brown tummy, she more than carries that off, and she's very happy with the fit. But given that we had changed this pattern from stocking stitch to garter stitch, it was inevitable that there were going to be changes, however careful I was. My big concern, I think, last time we spoke was the sleeves. Anyone who's listened to this podcast for any length of time will know that sleeves and I don't quite see eye to eye. I've often had a problem when I fit sleeves in, set sleeves in, so that when I'm not doing a raglan, this is when I'm doing a seamed jumper. I've found myself with more sleeve than armhole or more armhole than sleeve. Oh, and I don't ever understand why, because I'm not aware that I've made an error. I spoke last week, I won't rehash it. I'm never sure if people who listen have been listening, which is why I recap. I apologise if you're a regular listener and you're thinking, yes. It's like when a programme comes back from the adverts and they spend the first 3 minutes telling you what you've just been watching. Well, I hope it's not like that because I find that really annoying. But I was talking last week about a Ravelry thread I had started asking questions about the sleeve setup. If you're interested to follow that up, I'm not sure I'd bother, but if you're interested, look at last week's show notes and the link is there. But the good news is that the sleeve fitted in really nicely. The difference this time in my method of making up the sleeve is that I followed to the letter advice I'd been given both in a previous Ravelry thread and by a video that Stacey Perry has on her YouTube channel about setting in sleeves, which is when you start from the shoulder seam and go down each half of the sleeve separately. And then, while the sleeve is still open all the way down the inside of the arm, you start seaming up from the cuff of the jumper at the waist, the welt then, all the way up to the armpit, and then down to the cuff of the sleeve, all in a oner. And I did this on both sides, and I have to say, I'm more pleased with the outcome of that than I have been by any set-in sleeves for a long time. So I would definitely do that again. I think if I'm making a seamed jumper in future, which I'm sure I will, then I now really see the wisdom of doing it like that. The fit and just the finished effect are nice. They're smooth, and sort of not, you're not bodging. But if you do need to bodge, the top advice from Stacey Perry, and this is my kind of advice, she said, I can't remember her exact phraseology, but she basically said, if you do need to bodge it anywhere, do it under the arm. And I thought, yes, you know, although you might occasionally feel it a bit, far rather that than it being all lumpy and odd round the outside of the armhole where people can see it. That's terribly vain and shallow, but when you've spent hours working on something, I suppose you'd probably rather hide away the bits where you screwed up. I've now moved on to making this cowl that I have talked about before. I have to say, after making Ivy and then Taylor, it's really lovely to get away from grey and black. I've been looking forward to using a little bit of colour again. This is a white and navy cowl. It's not an existing pattern. I say I've come up with it. That's too grand, really. I've used existing elements and just put them together. The decorative design is based on the Scottish Rugby Thistle logo. I don't know if you have any idea what that looks like. It's a very stylized thistle. I mean, if you didn't know what it was, if you saw it completely out of context, you might not immediately think, oh, that's a thistle. But I know what it is. And when I'm at Murrayfield, it should be pretty clear what it is. The base colour is Cream Arran from Aldi. I've mentioned this before. I bought lakes of it. Last year, I think, or even the year before. Again, you know, I'm working my way through it. Sitting here, I can see at least one unopened 400 gram ball. There might be another in there. I'm not quite sure. I'm not going to go rummaging. And the skein that I'm using at the moment is very plump and healthy, so I've got plenty of that left. That's my background colour. I'm doing the design in Stylecraft Special Arran in a shade of blue called Midnight. That's from my local yarn shop. As I'm making it now, I'm thinking possibly it would have been better to use a blue that was a little less dark. I mean, it's a lovely colour in itself, but at a glance, you might think that it was black and white, which a bit of a shame. But you know, I'm very close to it. I'm looking down at it and I can see that it's blue, but ideally, Maybe a slightly brighter shade of blue might have been better. I've put this together by looking at other cowl patterns in Arran to give me a steer on the stitch count. Most of the patterns, there are some really lovely cowls out there. Things at the moment, the hot thing to knit at the moment is the shawl, but for me, I think I could wear a different cowl every day of the week. If I've been outside and I've had a cowl and a coat, I come in, I stick my coat on the peg in the porch. Often, I'm still wearing the cowl hours later and I haven't even noticed because I find them so cosy and they just plug that gap. Because I wear a lot of V-necks, which is, I'm happier with that, it's a more flattering fit on me, but when I've been outside and I come back in and you're slightly chilly, the cowl just gives you that cosy sort of seal around your neck, and to the point where I don't notice, and it's hours before I realise I'm still wearing it. And there are some really beautiful designs, many of them, they're pretty quick to knit up. I've got, as I've just confessed to, I've got huge amounts of Arran yarn. I like my cowls slightly on the chunky side, so I'd love to build up quite a collection of those, different colours and designs for, you know, every imaginable outfit, a cowl for every outfit. And so while I was looking for one that was relatively plain, just to give me an idea of the stitch count without too many fancy features that would include the stitch count in a way that wouldn't be helpful for me, because I'm not including any textures in this. There are no cables, no buttons, no this, no that. It's a straight stocking stitch just with the decorative pattern. So I found one that was about right, and initially I cast on with 4.5mm needles, and I did, also this had ribbing, this original cowl, just stitch count that I was using, but I'm not wild about ribbing, which is the whole reason why I ended up doing ivy. I had originally planned to do a fairly plain, a Thomas B. Ramsden wrap top, but I didn't really fancy the sort of, you know, 4 or 6 inches of pretty, what I consider to be just fairly blunt and ugly ribbing round the welt, and I went looking for a more decorative welt on a wrap top, spotted ivy, and, you know, there began a bit of a roller coaster. Anyway, so I started on this. Somehow I had managed to screw up my stitch count, and I had to create a few stitches here and there where it wouldn't really matter. But when I was probably a couple of inches above the ribbing, I just wasn't happy with the result. Partly it was that I had had to bodge the stitch count, but also the finished, what do you call it, the finished knitting, the finished fabric, what I had created, was just a bit too open. I like a fairly close stocking stitch. That just gives, I think, a nice smooth effect, which is what I prefer. So in the end, I pulled it out, which was fine because this was always experimental and I've got no problem ripping something out if I know that a place where I've gone wrong is always going to bug me. You know, every time you put it on, you're going to think, oh, you know, I wish I had ripped it all out after 4 inches, you know. So I did. No problem. I switched down to 4mm needles, recalculated my stitch count, and then added a few stitches. I put a design through Stitch Fiddle, which also incidentally got a mention on a recent Very Pink Stacey Perry podcast, and it's great if you've got an image that, whether it's something, you know, a photograph you've taken or something you've drawn, putting it through Stitch Fiddle gives you a chart and you can set the parameters for that chart. So I knew my pattern repeat is about 40 stitches, so 4, 8, 12, I've got about 120, and I added a few between each repeat, so I've got something like 138 stitches or something like that. And that looks, I mean, I haven't tried it on yet, but it looks like it's going to be absolutely fine, and I'm very happy with the results so far. I'm probably about halfway through. I'm using my 4mm, oh, here we go, Knit Pro Nova Cubics, there we go, right first time, and a short cable, so it's the right sort of size. And because usually with a cowl, you're not doing any increase, well, I say usually, it's been my experience, I'm not usually doing any significant decreasing in the cowl, so this particular cable will be fine. all the way to the end. I've chosen not to do ribbing in this second version because I actually quite like the rolled edge that you get with stocking stitch. You just have to account for it and make sure that your logo or whatever you're doing, or not very much of it, is obscured. And the other thing which I have had an issue with is weaving in my ends. However, it's not going to be difficult to put this cowl on with anything I want to hide at the back of my neck. It's not critical, but the suggestion that was made to me and which I have used is when you're weaving in your ends and you have a rolled stocking stitch edge and you're worried that it's going to show, use duplicate stitch. It's harder with Aran because you can end up with a bit of a thickness, but depending on what you're making, I think it will work. I know I've talked about this before, and I think I said at the time, this is going to depend on what you're making, and it seems to me that a cowl is a good example of something where you can kind of get away with it, at least in my world, where, you know, people don't expect anything to be perfect when I've made it, so I think I will get away with that. I'm really enjoying doing colour work again. I've always enjoyed it, and I have a plan for later in the year to make some fairly complicated Fair Isle long socks. Not for me. And I'm looking forward to those already, because just having all those colours on the go will be lovely. But I'm going to leave myself masses of time because the scope to go wrong is pretty high. And I think it will also, it just won't be a particularly swift process. The issue I've had as well, it's not so much the colour work, although colour work and charts tend to go together. I'm not a telly addict, but I can't watch TV if I'm using a chart. And if my husband and I are in the evening watching something that we particularly saved to watch together, it feels a bit rude if I'm spending three times as much time looking at my chart as I am looking at the TV. If I'm not using a chart, or if he's watching something that I'm only mildly interested in, fine, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm quite happy to give my attention to my knitting. Last night, I can't remember, there was something. Oh, University Challenge, yes, Monday night fixture. So it was that, and then there was something else. But I was falling asleep last night, actually, for some reason. So I didn't make any progress yesterday. But today, my son has his swimming lesson, and I'm taking him for the first time in a while. So that'll be good. I'll get some time in. And I have to take my daughter to an appointment tomorrow, and she'll be in on her own for about an hour. So I'll have plenty of time to kill. My big chart, what do you call it, board, my chart, sort of magnetic, there's a phrase and it's completely left me, but basically the lovely magnetic chart that my husband made me for Christmas year before last, it's unbelievably heavy. I mean, literally, it's like picking up a couple of bricks, which is fine when I'm at home, but I don't really want to cart it around. But it has these little movable magnetic strips on it, and of course they're magnetic to each other, so I'm hoping I can get away with just taking a pair of those with me. I had planned originally to make mittens to go with this cowl. As I've said before, again, forgive me if you've heard this 15 times, I'm going to be right up in the very gods of Murrayfield in the middle of March. I'm not expecting it to be balmy, which is why I want the cowl and mittens. But looking at how the pattern is coming out on the cowl, I'm not sure that when I, because I'll have to shrink down the image a lot to fit it onto mittens. I had wondered about trying to do something clever, because with a mitten you don't have to worry about fingers. I thought I could do something clever and actually have the logo going round the hand, from the back of the hand, round onto the palm. I don't know, I might tinker about. I've got about 2.5 weeks, actually. Yes, not as much time as I thought. But I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to shrink the logo down small enough to fit on Aran mittens, but big enough to be distinctive. So we'll have to see. I might have to come up with a compromise for those, or I might just decide that mittens are a step too far with the amount of time available to me. We'll see how it goes. I was looking through my Ravelry projects earlier, and in fact it's 2 years ago this month that I first made a pair of mitts I designed myself, and I use them to this day. They're my mitts of choice. One of the lovely things about Fair Isle, of course, well, Fair Isle colour work, is that you have all the floats on the inside, which gives you that extra warmth. And I designed, I use the term loosely, a pair of mitts for myself in Arran, and I used many of the Scandinavian style images that you see on, Arne and Carlos Ulekula and things like that. So just having a quick look here, I've got a couple of snowflakes and a couple of trees. One of them didn't work out quite the way I wanted, but the rest of them were fine. So I was really pleased with them, and it's given me confidence that I can do mitts. If I do make a pair this time, I think I'm going to do an afterthought thumb, which is slightly brave in case they don't work out what I think. But I think that it seems to me a sort of sensible thing to do, because you can then just decide where your thumb sits comfortably. I called them Scandi Mash, these mitts, because they were just a mashup of all sorts of pseudo Scandinavian designs. And they're very comfortable. The thumb is placed in a very comfortable position on those, so they're what I will be looking to emulate. The other thing I was knitting 2 years ago this month is the slouchy grey Gotland hat by Stephanie Goodwin Ritter. That, again, is a Ravelry download. I made that for my husband, although in this case it was the slouchy green Gotland hat. I haven't seen him wear it for a while, actually, but it's in the mufflements bag in the utility room, so it's still knocking around. He's got no hair. He shaves it down to about 2 millimetres and keeps it well in check. And I'm amazed he doesn't wear hats more. If I was him, especially at this time of year, he works from an unheated shed. If I was him, I'd be wearing at least 3 hats on any given day of the week. My mind is always moving on to the next project when I'm only halfway through this one. I'm now thinking a little more in a little more detail about this present that I'm making, which is also going to be based on a chart that I've something I've put through Stitch Fiddle. I've put it back a week. I was originally going to have it ready for the 18th of March, but I've now decided it's for my mother's birthday, which is why I'm being cagey. I don't know if she listens to this, but I've now decided to put it back a week and give it to her on Mother's Day. If you could buy yourself a week with a knitting project, wouldn't you? So I'm half thinking about it. I think I really need to get on with this cowl, get that done, then decide if the mitts are realistic, and go from there. Just to finish off, I wanted to talk to you about an article I read recently about filming the Bachelor's Cuppa Soup adverts in the late 70s, early 80s. In The Guardian, there was an interview with a chap called Derek Lambden, and if you are of a certain age, you'll remember seeing him on the Bachelor's Cuppa Soup boxes. It's a chap with a sort of Tattersall shirt taking a sip out of this cup. And he was talking about what went into it. And the thing that leapt out to me, as it would to you, is that in it, in this picture, as well as the Tattersall shirt, he's wearing a jumper that was knitted by his wife's aunt. And it looks like a Fair Isle jumper. You can just see all you really see are the shoulders, and there are some sort of Fair Isle style motifs in a very late 70s, early 80s sort of beige, orange and black design. The thing that really amused me, I'll put a link to the article, the thing that really amused me was just this little section. It's just 2 or 3 sentences, which I'll read. "You never know if your photograph will be used, but 6 months later we had a call from Panny." This is his wife's aunt. "She'd spotted her jumper before she'd spotted me on a packet in her local supermarket, so we rushed out to buy a few for the families ... Panny took to rearranging the shelves in any store she visited, pulling the beef and tomato to the front. She would say, 'That's my nephew-in-law, and I knitted that pullover.' Well, good for Panny. I hope she's enjoying the glory now, 20-odd years later." I find that very amusing. And I just wanted to give you a quick update on stash anxiety. I've been employing positive dictation to myself on this. So any time that I've sort of started feeling that my stash is sort of towering above me out of the corner of my eye, I've told myself explicitly, that's great, yeah, I know what I'm going to do with some of that, and the time will come when it'll be exactly the thing that I need, and then I deliberately just sort of mentally make myself move on. So it is helping. And I think by the time, well, it's Shrove Tuesday today, Ash Wednesday tomorrow. So by the time we get to the end of Lent, I'm completely non-religious, but Lent is a very useful period of time. And by the time we get to the end of it, I'm optimistic that I will have my stash anxiety where it needs to be. And funnily enough, since I mentioned this last week, I've heard a couple of other people expressing similar sentiments. So this is clearly something that knitters have a tendency, I say to suffer from, that's probably overdoing it a bit, but it's something we have a tendency for, I'll put it like that. That is me for this week. It's been lovely to talk to you as always. Happy knitting. Don't forget Knitting Hour on Twitter, 7:30 to 8:30, #knittinghour. Look forward to chatting to you soon. Bye.